upgrading.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. Good afternoon. Over here in the queue, you know, we've got 30 some people in here. More are going to join us today. In a pretty good mood today. Oh, yeah, we're at war, but I'm in a pretty good mood. And you know, I was complaining yesterday that the conservative media hasn't come to our defense at all. What's going on here? What is going on? Well, yesterday, the Power Hour, Hagman Report, and Alex Jones. That's three pretty good hits yesterday. So we're starting to fight back a little bit, and I'm beginning to find out, really, folks, the number of people that are with us is so beyond what we can even imagine. But we've been programmed and trained to not push back, to not fight, to compromise, to give in. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And that's what they hate. That's what they're hating so much about. What's going on with us right here? We are fighting back. We're not giving in. We're doubling down. And to be honest with you, they don't really know what to do with it. So I'm encouraged today, and I believe we're building an army, and I believe we will prevail. I believe that we will prevail in the lawsuit from with the what are they called, with NFL, Fox, Pepsi. I was in contact one way or another with a bevy of attorneys yesterday, and surprisingly, they're not laughing. They don't think I'm crazy. You know why they don't think I'm crazy? Because of what we showed you in the FCC regulations. The FCC regulation says for them to broadcast that between the hours of what was it again, 6 a.m.? Jared, can you find that from yesterday and pull that regulate, folks. I'm not going to talk about this all day. Bear with me. I'm going to close some. People want to have an update, so that's all. I'm just giving an update. What's going on? Maybe I need to resend it to you, Jared. It was in yesterday's stuff on the FCC. And
6 p.m. to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. at night, Coach.
But what does it say? What's the reasoning? Because it says it needs specifically. It's about the protection of children. It says when there's a reasonable chance the children would be in the room. I think, I should have had that ready. I'm sorry, Jared. That when there's a reasonable chance, just go to FCC.org. I think that may, .com, FCC.com. I think maybe that would pull it up. When there's a, hey, folks, how can any of those entities, Pepsi, the NFL, Fox, how could any of them say that there wasn't a reasonable, we could assume children were probably going to be in the room? How can they say that? It's right there in FCC regulations. But see, again, we don't, for the most part, we don't really operate on faith. We in the body of Christ, we really don't operate in faith. So you got to understand this. If this would be something that the Lord would want to be done, it'll happen. Trust me, it'll happen if that's what he wants done. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's not intimidated by the NFL and their lawyers or Pepsi and their. Come on, folks. Where's Robert Shuler when I need him? Possibility thinking. Where's Robert Shuler and his possibility thinking? We don't have that anymore, do we? We have defeatist thinking. I'm going to tell you, the people who are going to join and send us money, it's not about money, but you cannot win lawsuits without money. The number of people are going to send us, you're going to be shocked, man. You're going to be shocked. We're in the midst of we are right in the middle of a cultural revolution. We're right in the middle of it. Thanks. Jared's got it up on the screen right now, folks. This is why I think they're in trouble. It says indecent content right at the top there. It's on your screen. Indecent content portrays sexual excretory organs, or activities. Activities, folks. Activities. Sexual activities in a way that is patently offensive. It was patently offensive to me, right? But then it goes on down to say broadcasting obscene content, which we just read about, is prohibited by law at all times during the day. Indecent. Now, understand this. Obscene, there's no right ever to do obscene. But obscene is a three-pronged approach, and it's hard to prove. But not indecent. Indecent's not hard. Look, read with me. Excuse me. Indecent contents pertains sexual activities in a way that is patently offensive. But doesn't meet the three prongs. So let's go down here and see what it says. Factors in determining how the FCC rules apply, specific nature of content, the time of day, the broadcast context, and which broadcast took place. Broadcasting obscene content is prohibited by law all the time. That's number one, Jared. Scroll up just a little bit higher again, folks. That was category number one. Obscene content. Never, ever allowed. It says right down here. Prohibited by law at all times of the day. That one's hard to prove. But then there's a second level, which is called indecent content. And indecent and profane content is prohibited on broadcast TV and radio between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. Why? When there's a reasonable risk that children may be in the audience. Now, listen, I'm not an attorney. That's pretty plain to me. That's pretty plain to me. They violated the FCC standards. Now, what do we do when, again, there's two layers of government, one, two levels of government, one for them and one for the rest of us? Does Pepsi get off just because they're big and powerful? Got a lot of money, do they? Well, that's what we're going to find out. So I'm excited, and I got a couple of interviews today. I got a great response on InfoWars, my brain just went dead. Owen Schroyer, I was supposed to be on 20 minutes. He gave me 40. Come back from the break, said, man, we got to do more of this. Because why? Because I believe the Lord has opened our eyes to things that we didn't see before. You understand, I was going to do a show, I thought about doing it yet today, on the absolute scourge of pornography in our society. See, folks, I wish it was. This just isn't about entertainment. Just isn't about entertainment. And sit down a minute. I want you to think this through with me, okay? What if there's a spirit? Excuse me. What if there's a spirit that accompanies the visual of a pornography? What if that opens us up? Dare I say it, what do they call it, a portal, Randy? A threshold? What if just sitting in the spiritual realm I'm talking about now, folks, listen, the natural world, they're not going to understand this. They're not going to get it, okay? Those of us who have eyes to see, let us see. Let us see and understand. What if sitting there watching that soft pornography dance across our TVs, what if there's a spiritual component to that? What if there's something that comes through out of my screen? Hey, right ring watch, Kyle, you're laughing right now. You're getting ready to make a video right now. I said, man, I can really play off of this one. Well, see, it isn't for you because you're lost, brother. You're absolutely profoundly lost. So you're not going to understand it. But the people listening to the show are going to get it. Hey, Mark, what if there's some waves? What if there's something that comes off of that video? Can somebody explain to me why pornography is so addictive? What is going on? What is so addictive about pornography? So here comes some little guy, and there comes J-Lo's crotch. What if there's something, waves or something, some force that comes off of that?
Hey, coach.
What do they call that stuff? Dopamine? What if that unleashes something in my brain? What if it's like really and truly infecting me with a virus? What if it is really like that, see? And we don't get it. Say, oh, that's harmful. Yeah, it's harmful until some guy all of a sudden reaches 16 years old and can't quit looking at porn. And he thinks, well, I just can't control myself. No, dude, it's a spirit. There's a spiritual component here. The dark side has come in and grabbed a hold of you. But see, the church doesn't get it. Just turn it off, coach. Just turn it off. Man, folks, let your eyes, let your mind open and understand and see. There's a reason why in the middle of that show, in that family show, somebody made the decision to unleash that wicked stuff into homes all across America. Why? Why? See, we can't fight the demonic if we don't know it's demonic. If we don't know what we're fighting against, men can't get off of porn. They can't get off of porn. Why can't they get off of porn? I can quit cigarettes. Some of us can, Jeff. I can quit cigarettes. I can quit alcohol. I can quit swearing. But I can't get off of porn? I can't. What? See, it's more than just a habit. So.
Hey, Coach.
I'm going to take it on. Yeah, Paul.
I was going to say, basically, they've done studies on, like, heroin addicts and porn addicts, and they've done scans on their brain, and they basically show how the brain is basically changed by that, and that's what happens. You get the stuff that you're talking about, the dopamines, and it,
yes,
and certain parts of your brain are taught to control it, that's what it is.
That's what science teaches us, Paul. And I agree with you. I'm not making fun of what you said. Yeah. I agree with you. But there's a spiritual component to it as well, see?
No, I'm not saying there's not a spiritual component to it, but there's also that's part of the reason, and they know that. Yeah,
it causes physical changes, doesn't it? Physical changes. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing that enters into the body. And what my mind, will, and emotions, my head, my brain isn't working. And so as a result, this demonic force that's outside of us, and we don't understand this, why would Pepsi want to pump that into our home? Where would the NFL, do you think Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of the NFL, you suppose he's sitting around and he's watching the football game and enjoying the football game, and all of a sudden the halftime show comes on and there's J-Lo in her crotch. You suppose Roger Goodell goes, oh my goodness, I didn't know this was going to be on. You think that? You think he didn't know it? You think he hadn't seen the rehearsals of it? Huh? Come on, you're smart enough. Right? Smart enough. Well, I think this. Psalm 18, Jared. I think we all fight like one.
They all drink from the same cup, Coach.
They all drink from the same cup, and it's money. It's money. It's money. You know what, Chad? You know what my buddy Chad Estes, the cop? Well, you know what he showed me yesterday? Chad, hey, Chad, are you in here? You in here today? You sleeping in? See, Chad's not the same guy. Now he doesn't work nights. He sleeps in, misses all good stuff. I'm just kidding you, Chad.
Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, Joseph.
I forgot to tell you yesterday, but last week I sent my pastor your information on what happened with Fox News and everything.
Uh-huh.
And, by Caroline's surprise this weekend, he did his teaching on the biblical means about salt. And then at the end of his sermon today, Sunday, he mentioned you and what was going on.
Praise the Lord.
And it was powerful. It was 2 hours worth.
Awesome. Joseph, thanks, man. Thanks. Bless your pastor. So Chad called the NFL. And he called the NFL and wanted to know who's responsible for the content of the halftime show. And you know what they told him? The host city. The host city is responsible. So you know who that brings into our lawsuit? Miami. Wouldn't be surprising that Miami would want to have a little bit of filth in there. Would that be surprising to anybody out there? Wouldn't surprise me at all. So we have not yet begun to fight. Been talking with some lawyers, and I got a bevy of them that are working together and talking to each other and saying, how do we go about this thing?
Hey,
and I said then, and I say today, I don't care if it costs $100,000 to lose. Some battles are worth fighting, boys. Some battles are worth fighting. You don't win every game. And you don't go into every game expecting to lose, but you go into every game, if it's a real game, you go into every game realizing that losing is a possibility. You can't not play the game just because you might lose, right? And if we won't fight for righteousness because there's a price tag on it, coach, it might cost $100,000. So commercial Super Bowl cost $1 million. They didn't think twice about doing that. And see, we talk like we don't care about money, but we do. We worship money. And so we're looking at our children being destroyed, and we're worried about money. How much is going to cost to fight? I don't care how much it costs to fight. Let's fight. Let's fight. Let's go for the juggler. Let's do it. Somebody tried to come in. Come on in.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer either, but I have learned something in my little saga going on. And when you go to file a lawsuit against something like that, find as many defendants that had anything to do with getting that into people's, you know, whether it's the Fox Network, the NFL itself, the dancers, the two headliners, the cameramen, anybody that had anything to do with it, get as many defendants as you can in there, because that's that increases the chances they start pointing fingers at each other.
And Larry, that's what they're working on, how to go about it, what we need to do, all that kind of stuff. So listen, hey, Jared, I sent you an email that just says me on it. It doesn't say anything else other than me. Why don't you pull that up there for us if you can real quickly? Because I'm gonna move off this thing. I'm gonna move off. Go someplace else. I'm gonna show you this. Oh, Jared's got Psalm 18 up there too, didn't he? Okay. I'm sorry, man. Let me calm down here. So I want to send this out to all as Jared's working to bring that other thing. Keep Psalm 18 up on the screen here, Jared, if you will. Psalm 18. My wife, God love my wife. She started reading to me this morning. This is in the Bible, Christians. This is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. When David got delivered, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. See, call me nuts. I think the Lord's stronger than Pepsi's attorneys. Maybe I'm crazy. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. David just won a victory. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Oh, boys and girls, I got a bunch of them. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He cried unto my God. You know what? He heard me. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him, even into his ears. Look what happened when he heard it. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. This is like a parent at a football game or a baseball game when he sees his child mistreated. You ever seen the rage of a daddy or a mommy when the baby is mistreated? Smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down. And darkness was under his feet. Get that picture. The Lord's coming down and he is crushing darkness. It's under his feet. He rode upon a chair and did fly. Yeah, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his secret place in his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And at the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Oh, the Lord then thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and hailstones, and coals, and fire. Yeah. He sent out his arrows, and he scattered them. He shot out his lightnings, and he discomfited them. And then the channels of the water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. Oh, Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Wow. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. And he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. And they prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord showed up. And he brought me forth into a large place, and he delivered me because he was delighted in me. The Lord was happy with what I was doing, so he showed up. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. For I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from them. For all of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man, thou wilt show yourself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show yourself froward. Thou shalt save the afflicted people, but my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. Lord, I'm running through them right now. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath held me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength under the battle. Thou hast subdued under my feet those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was nobody to save them, even unto the Lord. But, buddy, he didn't hear him. He didn't hear him.
Amen, Coach.
That's all I need to know right there. I don't need likes on Facebook. I don't need likes on YouTube. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm doing the will of the Lord. Jared, did you pull that picture up there? I'm going to show you something here. This is for you, Serge. God bless Serge. My wife said, you heard from Serge lately? I said, no. So I contacted Serge yesterday. Serge is embroiled in a battle, man. Made me pound on my chest. God bless Serge. He's fighting this wicked Korean whatever, some type of cult that he calls a cult, I don't know, coming into town. And here they are in their local newspaper. Church members look to embrace Blaisdell. That's where Serge lives. And Serge's name is all up and down that article as a guy that's opposing it. God bless Serge. He's weary. Serge is weary. Send him a note of encouragement. Because, folks, the battle makes you weary. Makes you weary. I've been weary. I know it. I'm weary. And I love Serge. But he's not as battle-tested as I am. He gets weary sooner. And he gets weary sooner when he's alone. That's why we need to call him and encourage him and text him, hold up his arms and help him continue to fight. Because the Lord is going to give him the necks of his enemies. That's pretty loving scripture, wasn't it, at Psalm 18? Pretty loving. A friendship evangelism right there in the heart of it. I'm going to shut up. I've rambled for 24 minutes. Somebody come in here and straighten me up.
Coach, we're not going to straighten you out. We're just going to tell you to keep on, keep on.
Yeah. Hey, Dale, I know this. I represent millions. I'm not bragging. Somebody else tell me something who's doing it.
Coach, listen, Donald Trump is saying the stuff most Americans have been wanting to say for years. You're doing and saying stuff in the same manner. Things that people want to have been dying to say. Like I said, you weren't looking for a fight. You weren't, but God was.
Dale, and the same question. Am I allowed to have my opinions? Am I allowed to think pornography is wrong? Am I allowed to do that? I think I'm allowed to, aren't I? Aren't I? Yeah, I think so. So let me ask you a question. This is what I got my whole show. If you guys could see it, I have a all, I call it stuff that I want to talk about today. I have videos. I'm organized to do a show. And I, so I was done doing my, I was ready to do my show. And I was walking down the steps. You guys know my studio. I'm walking down the steps and the Lord asked me a question. So somebody get a pencil and paper for me. Cause I'm going to, we're going to do a little bit of a test here. I'll do a little bit of a test here. Somebody say, Coach, I got it. So I know somebody's writing them down here because I want to do a quiz. Somebody say, I got it. I'm writing them down.
Got it, Coach.
Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, now, here I want to ask, and then everybody's welcome. And Vinny's writing them. It was you, right, Vinny? Vinny's writing them down. Okay, so here it is. Here's a question the Lord asked me as I was coming down the steps. I think it was the Lord. My sheep hear his voice, another voice they won't hear. Pretty sure it was him. And the Lord asked me this. what are the critical issues in the church? In regards to, that's kind of how it came to me. What are the critical issues in the church? So, okay, so somebody give me one. Be ready to write there, Vinny. What are the critical issues in the church? What are they?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It would be from milk to meat.
Okay, give me, okay. No monologues here. Milk to meat. So you're saying what? Milk to meat. Milk to meat. In other words, no firm preaching. Okay, go ahead. Somebody else give me another one.
Collection plate.
Another one. Now, hang on. Let me frame the question in regards to the church and the world. Okay? The church and the world. Those two are good. Those are valid.
Not speaking out.
Silence. Issue regarding Christianity and the world. That, I guess maybe I didn't frame it. That's the way I received it from the Lord when I heard it.
Well, Coach, they're not equipping the saints to go out and infiltrate the world.
Not equipping. Okay, go ahead.
They do not have the full armor of God.
Don't have on the armor. Okay, go ahead. Somebody else. Come on, this is for somebody who never get in here. Your opinion matters.
They're not even producing children of God. They're producing wannabes.
Okay. False converts. Okay, go ahead.
Social gospel.
Social gospel. Good. Anybody another?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
No supernatural.
Oh, they don't believe in the supernatural power of God. Boy, is that ever the truth. Woo!
Tolerance.
Tolerance. Diversity. Okay, now let me stop right there. I'm glad hearing this. I want to take this to another level. So, as you sit there right now, what are some issues? If we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, what are some issues the church ought to be shining light on? Somebody give me
this. Abortion.
Almost like another list, Vinny, but I'm going to tie it together here. Somebody just said abortion. Okay, go another one.
Corruption.
Corruption where?
In our government, and everything in our society.
Just in general, corruption. Okay, good.
Pornography.
I'm sorry?
Pornography.
Okay.
Children.
The abuse
child
of children.
Abuse of children,
right? Go ahead.
Second Timothy 2:14, Coach. They better start studying. They better start studying church history and American history and find out where the problem is, because they don't even know what the problem is.
What do you mean, Second Timothy 2:14? What do you mean, Jack?
Study to show yourself approved.
Study. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Coach, it'd be prosperity, greed, and power.
Prosperity, greed, and power. Okay, go ahead.
Making disciples.
What's that, Dale?
Making disciples.
Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just going to read some from YouTube chat and Facebook. We've got disciples. Pastors are silent on abortion and LGBT from Lorna. Doctrines of demons are preaching from Kelly. And then one more from sermons are all about grace, and that's just a few from chat.
Okay, cool. Oh, great. This is awesome because this is very illustrative, at least in my way of thinking. We're identifying really what some of the issues are. Okay, so let me ask you this right now then. Let's come up with a top three. Let's come up with a top three issues confronting the American church. Another list, Vinny. Top three issues confronting the American church. Somebody have what would they be?
Coach, I didn't hear about pastors speaking about fear.
Fear. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Spiritual fear.
Spiritual fear. Okay. So, what are the three big issues that right now, today, in 2020, that the church needs to be really, really focused on?
I think one of the top three has to be the sloppy gospel that is being presented as gospel, which doesn't have enough information in it to produce a child of God.
Okay, I agree with that, Larry, but that's...
Personal responsibility.
Okay, personal responsibility. Okay, what else?
Coach, the advancement of the kingdom of God in every area, country of our life.
Well, that's a good one, too.
I think reveal Christ.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Fire and brimstone is gone.
Fire and brimstone is gone. What about, should the church be addressing, I'm just asking for a friend, should the church be addressing the LGBT agenda?
Yes.
Should the church be addressing the slaughter of unborn children?
Yes.
Do those things matter to the Lord? Do those things matter to the Lord? Okay. Should the church be addressing the creep of Islam? The creep of communism? Should the church be addressing those things? Okay, so Vinny's
how about
Go ahead, Joe.
How about the Ten Commandments?
Whatever you think the top five is problems facing the church. How many of those top five issues is the church addressing? If you were to walk into any church, you just pick a church. Would you hear sermons on any of those things?
Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. All of those are consequences of the church not teaching repentance. That's what the main message needs to be, repentance. All those things are waves of judgment, if you will, against us.
I agree with that. But if I'm sitting in a church with 50 people who are really, really born again, I don't need to hear about repentance again. I'm with you. That message needs to be there, right? But Chad, if we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, do we have an obligation to talk about these forces that the devil is using to come against the truth of the gospel? I was asked yesterday on the Power Hour, I think it was. They asked me, what's the biggest battle we have, Coach? What's the biggest battle? And right out of my spirit, it came without hesitation, truth. Everything that is happening against Christianity and against the church is an issue of truth. It's truth. Jesus is the truth. So the whole homosexual idea, the whole homosexual thing, isn't about whether or not we should accept them, whether or not we should love them. The whole thing is about, is homosexuality compatible with Christianity? And boys and girls, the answer is simple, and it is no. Truth before emotions, truth before feelings, truth before popularity. We have got to begin to speak the truth. We have to begin to speak the truth to power that the government is corrupt. We cannot live in a world that we live in and not do anything about the government. To say that the government is not the realm of church. Who came up with that idea? So you pick any of those issues you just spoke about, Do you ever hear anything about those in any church? Oh, wait a minute. You'll hear a pro-life message on Pro-Life Sunday. But does the preacher continually remind us that the slaughter of unborn children is an affront to Almighty God and he is angry with the wicked every day? Help me out here. Help me out. We are getting swallowed up in falsehoods. Satan is a liar, the father of lies. There is no truth in him, and we bring a little bit of him in our churches every Sunday, and we preach a little bit of the devil every Sunday. Folks, it comes back to the very centrality of what the message that I've been telling people that makes them upset. God does not love everyone. God is angry with the wicked every day. That is a central truth of the gospel. When's the last time you heard
it? From my lips, from when I spoke out the truth on the street.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about churches. When you go into a church, do you hear that message? And they say, well, coach, if you preach that kind of message, people aren't going to come back. Well, why would you want them back? Why would you want them back? If they want to live a lie, and repeat a lie, produce a lie, why would you want them back?
Because they want their money.
Oh, yeah. Do that, yeah. See, listen, Joe, I want to defend pastors here for a second. Because pastors...
There are exceptions. There are exceptions, coach.
It shouldn't be.
There are exceptions to what you're saying. There are some pastors that preach that every Sunday.
Sure there are. Sure there are. Sure there are. But there aren't. Hey, can I tell you something else? Our good friend Jack, just me. If that pastor's standing in that pulpit and these evils are going on and he's not encouraging his people 7 days a week to fight against it, he ain't doing his job. Now, standing up in the pulpit and preaching against you. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. How are you modeling this for the people in your congregation? When you stand up and you speak out on homosexuality on Sunday, what do you do about it on Monday and on Tuesday? So the people in your church say, wow. You know what's building credibility with me? I'm not patting myself on the back. What's building credibility with me? I walk out what I say. Why aren't our pastors walking out what they believe? That's why they're talking
about. Amen, Coach.
Easy to walk out prosperity. It's easy to walk out
What did Jesus say to the Pharisees in Matthew? I believe it's 18th chapter, maybe, or 19th. He said, do as they say, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they preach.
Mm-hmm. So put up the definition of hypocrisy. Put it up.
That's why I love Dale Socha, because I know he does what he's... I know if he preaches against abortion on Sunday, he's doing something about it on Monday.
Yeah, buddy. If
he's doing preaching against homosexual on Sunday, he's doing something about it on Tuesday.
Coach, we're up here in Oklahoma. We're bringing the SB 13 bill that abortion is murder. And a woman who does it, she's guilty of murder. It needs to be addressed. It's powerful. But you're right. That's exactly what we got to do.
That's truth, isn't it? See, it's truth. When a woman kills her baby, listen to me. When a woman kills her baby, just happened to, don't let me forget. I got to say this right now. I got to say this. I haven't seen the whole story. Here locally, right where we live, some couple just murdered their six-month-old baby. I think it was six, maybe it was seven. Baby that was born alive, and they took it in the back room, and I don't know whether they drowned it. I don't know what they did with it. And yesterday came out, they were being charged with what? Murder. What? It should be practicing medicine without a license, wouldn't it? But the doctors, they could have paid $500, had the doctor do it, it would have been easy, been over. They did it, and it's murder. Something wrong here. I was in the middle of something, forgot. So the truth is, see, here's what's happened. It's all about the truth, see? It's all about the truth. So if I say homosexuality is wrong, and I let them come into my church and come back again the next week, Satan's preaching in the church. Satan's preaching in the church. Our Bible told us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of the darkness, but rather expose them. We're not supposed to welcome, folks, I'm telling you, we're not supposed to welcome practicing homosexuals into the church. We're not supposed to practice, we're not supposed to invite baby murderers into the church. Hey, the devil coming in and preaching tolerance, and we're buying it, see? We're buying it. And the pastor won't stand up. See, the pastor isn't after the offering plate so much as he's expanded beyond his means. And because he's expanded beyond his means, he hired a staff member. He hired his wife to be the secretary. He hired this person. Now all of a sudden he's overextended his budget, and now he has to feed that beast. So therefore he has to change what he's going to preach, because some if he preaches the hard word, people aren't going to come back. And what about her? She just left her job to come and work for the church. So not everybody who's trying to fill the offering plate is doing it with an evil heart. They're doing it with the consequences of expanding beyond their means. That's the way I see it. I think a lot of pastors aren't speaking the truth because they've got themselves into a financial bind. They're not getting rich. They're in a bind. They're spending money they didn't have.
Because a little leaven destroys the entire loaf, brother.
It does. And so this what's going on here, that's why I put Surge up there. It so blessed my heart. So blessed my heart that Surge has come out from among them. And it's costing him a lot, making his family mad, probably. It doesn't matter. But Surge says, I'm sorry, this is the way it is, and I'm gonna go say something about it. I'm not gonna compromise with the world. Folks, we are the devil is preaching compromise in our churches. It starts so small. So small.
Hey, Coach, I just had a thought on your comment there. One of the things that's going on is we're so out of balance, and we're so far away from balance that we can't even see where the balance point is. One of the reasons why pastors don't practice what they preach on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is because they're not in the workforce. They're not out they're still playing in the church, having to do all the paperwork and run the church business, the religious business. My pastor goes to work every day and interacts with the community every day, and he lives it every day. Uh-huh. There's a difference.
And Jack, I'm going to tell you this, folks. You know the big churches, you know what those pastors spend time doing in those big churches? They spend time going to other big churches and being guest speakers and getting lots of money for coming and being a big guest speaker. That's what they do, see. You don't see them out on the streets. Somebody said to me the other day, an email I got, blah, 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 wherever, it doesn't matter. They said, well, who are you? Who are you to be speaking out? And I just kind of thought, that's a heck of a question. I ask myself all that all the time. Lord, who am I to be speaking out? Well, there's a silence out there. There's a void. Somebody's got to do it. I'm not doing it because I want to. Yeah, maybe I am now. I'm doing it because there's a void. Somebody's got to step into the gap. Somebody has to say pornography is wrong. It's wrong. I wonder why the pastor's not doing sermons on pornography. Anybody ever heard one? Has anybody ever heard a sermon on pornography? It's a scourge.
Yep.
It's the American scourge, pornography. And you won't preach against it because why? Buddy, that's convicting. Because there are guys sitting in there that are doing it. Okay. If you could get women alone and you could talk to the women, yeah, they would be honest with you. It could be anonymous somehow. You'd be shocked how many of them are dealing with a man who's diddling with pornography. Their sex life's not what it used to be. Their intimacy's not what it used to be. Their relationship with their children isn't what it used to be. And then they bring this eye candy onto the Super Bowl in front of and open up the spiritual realm and dump that virus right inside children, and the church doesn't even recognize it. Doesn't
Coach, even know what to do about it. Yep. Revelation. Here's revelation about pastors. First, the Lord spoke to me just at that moment was they're not at the gates of the hell because they're in their offices. And then I'm reminded of King David when kings went out to battle, but David was back watching pornography.
Oh my goodness.
These pastors are in their offices watching pornography when they're supposed to be out on the battle.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Coach, hey, can I say something about truth?
Yeah, Joseph, I'm hitting something here this morning. Go ahead, bud.
In the large catechism, if everybody reads catechisms, it says, what is the scripture principle teaches? The scripture principle teaches what man is to be live and concerning God and what duty requires of man. That's the truth.
But Joseph, here's what it is, brother. We are teaching a gospel where we are expecting the Lord to conform to us. We're not preaching a gospel where we have to conform to him. That's what friendship evangelism is all about. That's what it's all about, see. We want God, they're teaching us that God's just sitting there waiting to do this for you and this for you and this for you and this for you. So we're worshiping a God who has, thank you, Jesus, you have blessed me. You have conformed to my prayers. Thank you, Lord. And so the Lord says, well, yeah, I love to bless my children. Hey, by the way, would you go protect those unborn children for me? Oh, no, I'm called to that job that you gave me. I'm called to that job that you blessed me. You see the hypocrisy? Do you see it?
Thank you.
We've asked God to conform to our vision of him and what we think he wants us to do. We want him to conform to our own image of him. Truth's going out the window. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, that's
They're not teaching
the Old and New Testament.
Joseph, that's why I started off when I was talking about write these things down. They're not teaching the things that are most important. People go to church and they leave church and they talk, oh, what a wonderful sermon that was. I am so encouraged. I needed that word. That word was just for me. Really? Really? When I'm talking about me. When I believe in church, I want to see how short I've come up to what I should be. I want to be encouraged to be greater, to do greater things from God. Not that he's some guru sitting up there doing self-help. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He hates pornography. He doesn't want us to have anything to do with it. And I speak out against it, and I'm the freak. Maybe I am. Well, maybe I am.
Coach,
yeah,
Coach, I'm telling you that this is spot on spirit. That's a message, is that when the kings are supposed to go out to battle, David was home watching pornography from his rooftop. And so what does David do in response to that? He throws Uriah under the bus. That's what they're doing to you.
Pornography led to murder, didn't it, Dale? Porn led to murder.
Well, not only murder, but one of his own. He threw his own general under the bus. What are they doing to you, Coach? We're throwing him under the bus. Why? Because we're up on our rooftop watching pornography.
Oh, brother. Or at least the things of the world, bro. It doesn't have to just be pornography. We were so enthralled with the game, the Super Bowl game, that we couldn't even recognize the porn at halftime. So enthralled with the cares and the loves of the world. Not for supposed to be hating.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
It's like me and Ricky going to Kenyon. Pastor Bill come in after we'd done that, because he was gone that Saturday. So all week long, he must have worked his message up. He come in Tuesday night in the garage, and his message was to the men, You got to take back the land. He said, now they went. He said, no, we need to go and take back the land. Then he did it on Sunday morning to the church, too. He asked us the question. He said, Rick and Jeff.
Jeff, that's not very Christian.
He said, Rick and Jeff, he said, answer this. He said, answer this question, honestly. He said, was there a little fear when you two went up there, just you two? We said, yeah. He said, you had no idea what was going to happen, did you? We're like, no. So now we're up to about 20 right now that are going. So now I think I've got five pastors. So we're going to take a crowd up there. I'll see how many of them actually show, but we'll find out.
Jeff, listen, you guys are so wrong. They just need to know Jesus. You don't need to go out there and demonstrate and make all of us who love Jesus look like fools. You guys are going about it all wrong. Go there and hold up signs and tell them how much Jesus loves them and how he wants to have a personal relationship with them. Jeff, we're just passing through this world. This world is not our home. The devil owns this world, Jeff. He owns this world. Why are you out fighting for this world? This is the devil's world. Jesus is going to come back here and take us out of here soon. Jeff, you're just going about it the wrong way.
Then, Coach, why do we need the spirit of truth? True, Coach, we can just sit back and be stupid and go out, and we don't need truth.
No, you can sit back there and say, well, we're going to be out of here soon, and, I just hope we all get out of here before they turn my son into a homo. I hope we're out of here before that. Boy, oh boy. Hurry up. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm noticing my son's watching a lot of porn here. Oh, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Isn't that the attitude?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
These people, they don't want to promote truth. Vladimir Lenin calls them useful idiots.
Right. So we know that. So what I'm trying to point out to all of us is, no matter, I'm going to tell you something, folks, except for Joseph and maybe Dale, maybe a couple others, these issues that we wrote down on that piece of paper, they ain't being spoken of. They're not talking about it in church. So therefore, if they're not talking about it in church, why would the flock think they're to oppose it? Why would they think they're supposed to oppose? It's compromise, folks. It's compromise and tolerance as the gospel. That Jesus is a compromising, tolerant.
Coach, you know what happens when there's a lack of truth or no truth? This is what happens. It's another system fills that vacuum, and it's called hypocrisy. Let me read this, Coach.
We never got to it. I'm sorry. Let's come back to that, Jared. Throw that up on the screen. Go ahead,
the
Andy.
Practice, let me read this one, Coach, what I have. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
This is the system that we have in place, Coach. It's hypocrisy. Jesus walked on the, he came to the earth, and he came into that system that had replaced the law and the prophets. It was a system of hypocrisy. They thought they were the believers. We think that we're the believers, but no, we are in these people that do this. They're hypocrites. It's hypocrisy.
Randy, so this is why Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is so powerful. Because Alinsky makes us live up to our own standards. And what does making us live up to our own standards do? It reveals our hypocrisy.
Amen. Amen.
Right? And they control us through our own hypocrisy. So when I speak about porn, see, I told you I got all these emails, right? So when I speak about porn, you know what they send me? Pictures of Melania Trump. Oh, yeah, well, you support this. You support this president's wife. You get the game? Do you get the game that's going on? I don't think we do. And so, just from our little study here, Vinny, I'm sorry you wrote all those things down. I don't know what you're going to do with them now. Pointed out the fact that, what? The issues that are most critical to the church, we don't even talk about. You mean to tell me you're going to go to church every Sunday and hear a salvation message? Every Sunday? How many people sitting in the church are already saved and hear a salvation message? What? But that's where we are, isn't it? A tolerance message, a love message. Not Psalm 18. Lord, thank you for giving me the necks of my enemies. I've run through a troop by you. I've run through a troop and leapt over a wall. Hey, that's what I'm in the process of doing with the NFL. I'm running through a troop. I'm leaping over a wall. I'm asking the Lord to give me the necks of my enemies. Oh, yeah. The NFL's my enemy. Yeah. Pepsi, they're my enemy. Fox, if they bring that into my house, sorry, that's my enemy. Now, if you want to compromise with them and rub shoulders with them and lay up next to them and say, well, just turn the channel. If you want to do that, you can go ahead and do that. I'm going to live like that. I'm not going to live. I'm not going to not be able to enjoy something I want to watch because the devil's coming in there and I have to have the remote in my hand the whole time. I'm waiting for something dirty to come up. So I ain't going to live like that. I keep making Christians second-class citizens. They wouldn't do that to the homos. They'd be triggered. They'd be triggered. Well, you can't trigger them. Well, that triggered me. Janet, what's her name? J-Lo's crotch triggered me. They don't care if it triggers me. Well, Coach, just pray for them. This is not our home. We're just passing through anyway. As your kid's up in the computer room with his pants down watching porn. I'm just telling you the truth. We worry so much about our own situation. We don't protect anybody else. You ready to go, Robert? You ready to go? It's better than what you guys are admitting to. This is February 11th.
Yeah, I think too many people are waiting for the pink bus to heaven.
Yeah, I think so.
February 11th, the most effective way to mortify sin in our life is to hate it. You know, that's what we're saying, Coach. We got to hate the sin before we mortify it.
We don't hate sin, brothers. We do not hate sin.
And the more we understand its harmful and enslaving effects on us, the more we will hate it. And that's what you're talking about, the effects, the bondage. Yeah.
That's right.
New life spells action, not boredom. Spiritual action, not religious acting, is a certain and expected fruit, evidence in the spiritual resurrection life of truly born again new creatures and children of God. Such ones exercise an active and overcoming faith in the living God, laying hold of the living hope set before them. With spiritual action, we grow in true grace, not wallow in hyper grace. We fight the good fight of faith, not frolic around in an effortless Christianity. Like Serge, he's paying the price. He's getting out there. We make time to pray, not waste time in play. We run the race to win heaven's prize, not run a contest to win man's praise.
Amen. There's a mic drop.
Who says being spiritual is boring? As long as preachers are obsessed with counting noses and nickels, wearing the cross instead of bearing the cross, in securing decisions rather than making disciples, inviting sinners to merely pray at the altar rather than die on the altar, the religious game will only continue on. The religious circus bandwagons will continue to roll in, and the roaring lion will continue to roam about.
Yes, sir.
Demons will continue being entertained, and their pulpit thieves will leave their sheep without. Fortunately, the Lord's faithful remnant will not indulge nor be deceived by such nonsense in this last hour, in this late hour, but will wisely profess the mind of Christ and proclaim his gospel in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
There it is.
Demonstration, man. Coach.
Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hypocrisy, Randy. Hypocrisy. You've hit upon it. See, we need to start calling out some of these 6-foot icicles for their hypocrisy. How can you stand in the pulpit and say homosexuality is wrong, not do anything about it? Tell us we're supposed to love them. What? Love them? I love them. I'm supposed to bring them in here and let them poison everything? Hey, Kyle, I hope you're writing that down because I said that. Don't make up lies about what I said, Kyle, and put the video out there. I stand by everything I said, but don't cherry pick it. Please don't cherry pick it. That's lying. That's deceptive. See, I heard that. Wow, I heard that from the Holy Spirit. You know what he just said to me? He said, yeah, coach. I think he said, coach. I could have just made that up. He said, yeah, coach. They cherry picked my gospel. and cherry pick my gospel. Amen.
Amen.
See you tomorrow.